Okay, the timer says we now are on the air. It's a great day to worship our God, a special day. We all honor our mothers so much, and we owe so much to those mothers throughout the years. Mothers are the greatest teachers that we've had through the centuries, through the years. Mothers have been the one who taught the kids what to do, taught their values, taught their morals. And we're so blessed to have those great mothers here today. I was reminded of a scripture that I wanted to start off this morning with. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it has to do with a compliment to Timothy concerning his heritage. It reads like this: I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelled in you first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Welcome to our morning service.
Let's sing a little together.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us, brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life.
All right, today's scripture is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my children to his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all the vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went in from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And she poured, and as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest."
Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. A mother was walking along with her four-year-old daughter, and her daughter picked something up off the ground, and it looked like she was going to put it in her mouth, and she said, "Take that away from your lips. Don't do that. It's not good for you." And her little daughter looked up and said, "Why?" And she said, "It's probably been on the ground for a long time. It's probably got germs all over it." And her four-year-old daughter looked up and said, "Wow, how did you know all that stuff?" And the mother said, "All mommies know that stuff. It's on the mommy test. If you don't pass the test, you don't become a mommy." And they walked on for 2 or 3 minutes, and then the little girl looked up at her mom and said, "Oh, I get it. If you don't pass the test, you have to be a daddy." Well, we'll talk about dads later in the summer, but today we want to say thank you, because moms bless us a lot. And this morning, I want to tell you a story. When I was in Lubbock, a family lived across the street, catty corner, kind of a diagonal from my grandparents, who I spent a lot of time at their house growing up. And when I was in college, I was living there. And the lady, the mom, had two kids, a daughter and a son. The son was just starting off in baseball. And she topped all my papers when I was in college. I would write them out. She learned how to read my writing, which is an ASPAT, it's a feat in itself. And I got close to this family. Sometimes I watched the kids when they went out. And he was playing baseball, and I was an assistant coach of his team, and another guy from church was a coach. And they actually played their games right around, just a couple of blocks away from where we lived. And her son had just started playing, and he was not very successful. He missed a lot of balls, particularly in this game. He struck out every time. And the other kids started making fun of him. And so he left the park and ran home. And she ran with him and said, will you bring my daughter by the house when you leave?" And when I got there, he was sitting on the cabinet, and she was talking to him, saying, "It's going to be okay. You're going to overcome this." And she was giving him nuggets of information, and it was exactly what he needed to hear. And he calmed down, and she was sharing with him her love, her faith, and her hope. And it wasn't only in that moment, but over the next few weeks, she did things to give him a sense of good esteem and knowing that he was cared for and that he was loved, and getting his mind full of information that would help him overcome the fears he had about even going back to practice. And we would spend hours out in their front yard with a wiffle bat and wiffle balls. And he went to the next practice, and at the next game, he actually hit a double. And she was showering him with the blessings of her love, her faith, and her hope. And we're going to look at two stories this morning that echo the same principle. Two women, two different women, shower their families with their faith, with their love, and with their hope. And it's something that we celebrate in godly women and godly mothers who have an influence on the people that God puts in their lives, especially children. And what they need the most is to be blessed with love and faith and hope. And as Christians, we're called to do the same thing. That triad is about us as Christians. We're to be armed. In Thessalonians, we'll see later, I'll put the verse up, but we're to put on faith and love as the breastplate and hope as the helmet of salvation. Now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And Paul will tell the Thessalonians, I'm thankful for you in prayer because of your faith, because of your love, and because of your hope. And we celebrate that because we have a lot of members in the audience this morning and online watching us, that you have blessed your families and people around you with your faith and love and hope. And you may be a new mom. You may be someone who's expecting to be a mom. And you want to know the keys to being a godly mother, a godly woman, the kind of woman we read about in Proverbs chapter 31. It's pouring out the blessings of love and faith and hope. So this morning we're going to consider these three blessings that are poured out by these two women in 2 Kings chapter 4. First of all, we have the story that was just read to us about this widow who is in a desperate situation. In chapter 4, you read about several situations where people are desperate. They're at the bottom. They're in a great difficulty. And we see, because of their love and their faith and their hope, they chase God and they honor God. Jackie alluded to this morning, but God honors those who honor Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says, God will honor those who honor Him. That's part of the verse. And in the New Covenant, who are those that God honor? Old Covenant said, God honors those who honor Him. Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 26 says, those who serve Me, My Father will honor. You want God to honor you in your life? Serve Jesus. Put Him first in your life and do the things He directs you to do. Two women we're going to look at chase God. This woman is in a difficult circumstance. What's her circumstance? Her husband was of the school of the prophets. He was a person that would have been known by Elisha. He has passed away, and now she's facing all the debt that is left behind, and she has no way to pay for it. And the debt collectors have come, and back in this time, if you didn't pay your debts, they would take anything you had. She has two sons, and they're going to be taken away and become slaves until the debt is paid. Can you imagine what that would be like for a mom to be in that situation? She is desperate. She has no other way to turn, but she chases God and she calls on Elisha and he says, what can I do for you? And what do you have in your house? Important question. She asked him, what resources do you have? And her answer is interesting because she says, I have nothing but this little bit of oil. Sometimes when circumstances of our life become so overwhelming, we often focus on the scarcity of the circumstances, and we overlook the amazing supply that we have. Because that little bit of oil, she said, I got nothing but this oil. What good is this oil going to do me? It's not going to really help. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt so desperate and you felt like, I got nothing? In fact, sometimes we are in situations where we think, I'm so tired, I got nothing left. Don't let your circumstances overwhelm you to the point that you focus on the scarcity, but you always remember, as long as you've got something, God can do everything. All you got to have is a little bit. Remember the story of Elijah and the cloud? And the guy's running up and saying, do you see anything? And he comes back and he runs back. Do you see anything? This goes on and on. Feel sorry for the guy having to run back and forth to see. And then finally he says there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Seemed small, didn't it? Great, powerful things were going to happen. It doesn't matter the size. It doesn't matter the amount. She had something, and God is going to show her, when you've got something, even something that seems insignificant, you may feel insignificant. I could go on and on this morning, but I won't, about people who the world thought were so insignificant, and they did great things because of their God. There's a lot of people that do great things. There's not a lot so special about them, but they let God take the small thing that they had and do great things with it. And He can do that through us. And He does that through mothers. And that inspires us and that celebrates us. But she had to take it and pour it. So she's chasing God. She's got faith. She's a believer. She's seeking God. She's persistent. And she gets information from God's man, do this. Go to your neighbors, get all the vessels that they have, come in and shut the door, and begin to pour that oil. And as she poured, the oil stayed the same, and all the vessels get filled up. She had faith. She had love. She was seeking the highest good of her children. She loved God. She sought Him, she chased God, and she believed that God could do whatever needed to happen to rescue her from that situation. And that is hope. Desire plus expectation. She wanted out of that situation, and she expected it could happen because God can make incredible things happen. They heard stories about Elijah and all the stuff that he had done. She believed that God could do great things. And so she sent her sons out. They got the vessels. She poured the oil. She filled them all up. And then at one point she said, I need more vessels. And they said, that's all we got. And Elisha tells her, take the oil and sell it and live off the rest. And they got a dramatic deliverance from despair because she sought God and she obeyed God. And that love and that faith and that hope that she poured out on her family was a blessing. She honored God and God honored her. Beautiful story. But don't miss the point. When you think you've got nothing, as long as you have anything, that's something. And God can use that something to do great things. And guess what? Satan is going to try to make you convinced that you got nothing. And that what you have is insignificant. Because if you give up hope, he wins. But as long as you've got the smallest thing, mustard seed faith, little bitty cloud, when the world looks at you and says, you got nothing. As long as God is God and you've got something, God can make great things happen. Don't give in to despair. Then we see the next story. What's the sermon outline? Same outline. This is an easy one today. Faith, love, and hope. We see the same thing, but it's a totally different circumstance. Elisha is someone who traveled around. All the scholars think that he probably had the same route, however you want to say that, depending on what part of the country you're from, that Elijah had. He probably went to Jericho and by the Jordan and up to Mount Carmel and all those same places like Bethel. And he would stop off at this place in Shunem and he would take a break. It was a perfect spot. And there was a woman there, Shunammite woman. We don't know her name, but she sees him and she invites him hospitably to come in and eat with her. And she tells her husband, "This is a holy man of God." And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by regularly. Let's build him an apartment. Let's build him a little place." And her faith affects her husband, and they build a little apartment. It's got a bed, it's got a table, got a lamp, and he will come and rest. She's honoring God's man. She's honoring God. She believes in what he stands for and what he speaks. She has discernment that comes from that faith that she can see he's a good prophet because of what he represents, what he says, what he does. And they build this little place for him. And he comes and goes. And on one trip, he sends his servant, Gehazi, to her. And he's asking about questions to her. And then he calls her in and he says, "What can I do for you?" And she said to him, "Say now, look, you have," and he said, and he said to him, "Say now to her, look." So he's using Gehazi as an intermediary between him and her. "Look, you have been concerned with us all with all this care. What can I do for you?" Here's a guy who had just been with three kings. He had been with the widow. Now he's at this house and he's asking her, "What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" I mean, this is pretty cool. This is like the genie in the bottle. She can ask for whatever she wants and he's got some clout. And what's her response? She answered, "I dwell among my own people." She's content. She doesn't want anything else. And he magnifies what he saw in her character, love. "Thank you for the great concern that you have had for us. You've honored us. We want to honor you." Why? Because of her, she sought the highest good of others. He saw a loving, believing woman. And he wanted to do something special. And she said, "I don't need anything. I'm good." What character? And she's content. She wanted to give more than she wanted to get. That's inspiring, isn't it? We celebrate that in our moms this morning. They often want to give more than they get. A second grade teacher was talking to her kids about, in science class, about magnets. And so she gave them a little word puzzle that said, "Spell out something with six letters that starts with an M that picks up things." 50% of the kids put magnet, 50% of the kids put mother. And we see her faith. She believes she's a man of God. We see her love. And then he asked Gehazi, Gehazi says, when he is asking, what can I do for her? She says she doesn't have a child. And so he tells her, you're going to have a baby. And look at her response. And she's, I didn't put that on there. So what's her response? She says, don't lie to me. And literally, in the Greek, it means about the season as the time of my life. So she's older and she's saying, "You don't be joking me. Don't be pulling my leg." Because she's older. She's not supposed to be able to have a child. And he's telling her, you're going to have a baby. And she has a child. And she cares for it and loves it and weans it. And he gets older. Some people think that he's probably somewhere around 8 or 9 or 10, maybe a little older. You get different debates about it. But he's old enough to go out into the field where his father works, especially at this time, this area. They raise a lot of corn. We're not told exactly what, but he goes out into the field. And while he's there, he says, my head, my head. Some people think it's a sunstroke. It could have been a brain tumor. Nobody really knows. But something goes on and causes him to be critically ill. And the father takes him to the mom. She's rocking him, and he dies. Her world comes crashing down. There's now nothing anyone can do. She is now in a desperate situation. There's no hope. But she takes him and she puts him in the prophet's room, and look at her response. And she said, it is well. You can translate it is well, or it will be well. What a powerful statement. She just lost her son, and she's got hope, desire, plus expectation. God gave her this gift. The prophet promised it to her, and she was holding on to hope that everything was going to be okay. She just needed God to show up. She just needed God to do a miracle. She just needed God could do it if he wanted to. They heard stories about Elijah raising up someone from the dead. It wasn't the only resurrection at that time. They knew it was possible. And because it was possible, she chased God. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So don't let up. I want you to drive this thing. As a crow flies from where she was to Mount Carmel's about 16 miles, but it's not a straight shot. And it could be somewhere around 20, 30 miles. It's going to take some time to get there. She wanted to get there as soon as she could. So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. She wanted Elisha, God's man, to do something that no one else could do. Bring her son back. Just like Jairus' daughter was ill, he goes to Jesus and says, I believe, help my unbelief. God can do incredible things if we just believe. And so she goes to Mount Carmel, and he sends a message through Gehazi and says, is it well? Are you well? Is your husband well? Is your child well? And what does she say? It is well. How remarkable. It wasn't well. Her son was dead, but she believed in the God of the impossible. She held out hope. And so she comes and she falls at his feet. Gehazi tries to pull her off. And he says, she is in deep despair. Leave her be. And he tells Gehazi, I want you to go and I want you to lay your staff on his head. And that should just make her feel great, right? Gehazi's going to go put the staff on her head and everything's going to be all right. And her response was, she echoed the words. We looked at what Elisha said last week, she says the same words that he said to Elijah when Elijah told him, you stay here, you stay put, I'm going on. And Elisha said, no, I'm not going to let you leave me. She says the exact same words. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he rose and followed her. Her hope was the light that was leading the prophet of God. She was chasing God, and she was bringing Elisha along with him. He didn't know about the circumstances. He had sent his servant to do something, but his servant comes back and says he won't wake up. So Elisha goes to the house. He spreads himself out, eye to eye, hand to hand. You get the description in the passage. Same thing Elijah did. And the sun rises up. No. He does that, and the sun doesn't get up. God's teaching the prophet now. He sent his servant, nothing happened. He did what Elijah did, nothing happens. So he goes back again. Sometimes when you pray to God for something and he doesn't answer, you just give up. You have to be persistent. The prophet had to be persistent. He had to keep on keeping on. And he had a woman that was saying, I believe. She had hope. He goes back, does the same thing. The child is raised from the dead. He wasn't sick. He wasn't in a coma. He was dead. About 10 resurrections in the Bible. Some of them are big with a lot of people, but they're throughout Scripture. And Gehazi goes and tells the woman, and she comes in, fell at his feet and bowed to the ground, and then she picked up her son and went out. What an incredible story. But the three things that run through it are, she loved her family. She loved her God. She loved the son that God blessed her with. She showered him with the blessings of her love. And she had faith. And she showered and blessed her family with her faith. And she poured it out on other people, like Elisha. And she had hope. And all of us that are in this room this morning need to live our lives based on those three things, that tripod. Try to have faith and love without hope. Try to have hope without faith. Try to really have love for people in this world and some people that are in this room without faith and hope. It ain't easy. Some of you are hard to love. Maybe. I'm how hard to love sometimes, right? All right, I knew I'd get a reaction from that one. We're all hard to love. And we're all easy to love, too, because we have adorable things about us, right? You can tell me what you think later. Anyway, go ahead. Let's look at these same outline. Easy to remember today. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of what? Faith. Your labor of what? Love. And patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. As Christians, my life should be standing on the tripod of faith, love, and hope. And then we have this picture of armor. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope as of salvation. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, the big love chapter, and now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So in this text, we see these three things that we are to shower on others. And today's a day that we can specifically look at women that are moms and grandmothers and great aunts and aunts and people that it takes a village these days, doesn't it, to raise children. And everybody has an influence on kids' lives. And what do they need? These three things. And it's an opportunity for us to say, thank you. Thank you for being the moms that you are. Two boys decided that they were going to give their mom a very special Mother's Day gift. And so they told her, Mom, don't cook today. We're going to cook. So 9 pots, 2 skillets, 5 big bowls, 11 spoons, 6 measuring cups, and a whole roll of paper towels later, the mother said, this is the best Jell-O I've ever had. So I don't know what your Mother's Day gift is going to be. Maybe you're going to make Jell-O. Maybe not such the mess. But thank you, especially those of you who emphasize in your life faith and hope and love. And may we all be people who shower the world around us and each other with those same blessings. Be a blessing to someone this week because you share your faith, because you share your love, because you share your hope, because there are people living in despair, there's people in great need, there's people that need people to shine the light of Jesus Christ. Let's shower the world with the blessings of faith, hope, and love as we sing.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. face the day when the faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here.
From the dead, the one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. The unseen, he meets us here in the bread.
See the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Do this in remembrance of me. That's what I want to focus on today for today's communion is remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Communion is Jesus' way for us to remember his sacrifice and ask us to do it as often as we gather, probably because he knew we had short memories. And, you know, how do we remember a lot of things in our lives, you know, significant events in our lives? Well, actually, it's easy to remember significant events in our lives, like a child being born or an unexplainable miracle we experience, historical events, whether it be war. 9/11 is pretty significant to me since I was in the military at that time. And as Texans, we remember the Alamo, right? So when Jesus instituted with the apostles in this way of remembering him, it seems pretty simple, but it's also pretty profound. It's simple in the fact that it's just a piece of bread and some juice, but it's really profound when he describes it as his body and his blood. And let me read some scripture here. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And the part I was speaking about of the body and the blood being the juice and the bread being the body and the blood, John 6:52. When the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" That's where the profoundness comes in. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my body is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I believe," just said the Father sent me and I live because of the Father, "so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." So I just would like us to focus on this, something we do as often as we gather with this juice and this bread. I want us to focus on the profound event that took place on the day of Jesus' sacrifice and remember it always. So I'll say a prayer for the bread. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather in your presence to worship and remember the sacrifice of your Son. As we take this bread, Father, I pray for everyone's ability to remember and to take this bread that represents the body of Jesus. And I pray for everyone's ability to remember and recall the sacrifice of Jesus, to remember the significance for themselves, but also to recall so they may share the hope and glory that they have in Christ's suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we know the power of our salvation is in the blood of your Son, Jesus, and this cup represents his blood. As we partake of this cup, let us remember Jesus and his blood that gives us life for eternity. Let us also remember how that blood was shed and how sacrificial it was, being an innocent man that willingly gave himself for us. In Jesus' name.
Close out our worship assembly this morning. I'd like to thank everyone for the presence, whether here in the building or online. Thank you, Justin, for those fine words that you spoke of the Lord's Supper and the importance of the Lord's Supper cannot be diminished. But we also have a responsibility to reflect on the contributions we made, because it also has an importance to keep the church viable, to keep it functioning, to do the good work that's necessary. We'd like to thank all those that have made their contributions and those that have not but wish to do so. There's a box in the foyer, so you can drop that off. Or if you're online and you want to do it by mail, that's also a possibility. Bow with me, please, as we close out this morning's worship assembly. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we're so truly blessed to be here this morning to worship you, Lord, and to hear the message of your divine word, to participate in prayer and song, and the Lord's table. We love you, Lord, and we pray that our efforts this morning were pleasing to you. We'd like to thank you, Lord, for watching over all of us at this time. To thank you, Lord, for all those that have made their contributions to keep the church going and to continue to do the good work. Thank you once again, Father, for your blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ. All these things in his name, Christ our Savior.